Hi, this is Will.
And this is Jay.
Welcome to our podcast,
Not Just Sports.
Just two bros sitting down talking about everything, not just sports.
On this series, we'll be taking you with us on the trails and spills, highs and lows, disappointments and excitements at the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar. And of course, there can only be one winner. So as you say in Nigeria,
breakfast will reach everybody. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the World Cup series on your favorite podcast, Not Just Sports, with Will and Jay. I'm Will.
I'm Jay. Welcome, guys.
Yeah, nice to have you guys with us today. So we're just going to run through the events of yesterday. Final games in the group stages. For Group A and B yesterday. And We're just going to breeze through the events, you know, the recap, what happened, what we expected, if it played out, our predictions and all of that. And then we're going to switch over to today's fixtures, make our predictions as always, and
give our reasons why we're backing our predictions.
Exactly. So, we kick off.
Ecuador, Senegal.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday was actually a good day.
Yeah.
In the sense of goals and the game's been interesting, because this was now the dying minute where you win, you qualify.
For many teams,
this is we win, you qualify. It's no longer about seeing out the draw. It's more or less, if you can actually just get that chance to put the ball in the net, then there's a high chance that you see yourself in the next stage, that's around the next 10. And for Ecuador Senegal, it was not anything different, because going into the game, we expected Ecuador to qualify, right?
Because of how they have been this
World Cup. Their first game against Qatar, their fight back against Netherlands. You really believe that, okay, yes, they deserve it. But I think in football, there's no such term as that.
very true.
Lewandowski can testify. There's no such term as that. You can't deserve it. You have to earn it.
Yeah, definitely.
And you earn it on the pitch that 90 minutes. And sorry to say, but that was not the case for Ecuador, as they lost to Senegal.
And, you know, they just had to find a way to flip my prediction yesterday, because I predicted Ecuador winning 2-1.
Yo, and you feel it as that it's flipping your spreadsheet. Think of being a predicted 1-1. why did Koulibaly have to go and score? I was on the correct score.
Yeah, you were on the correct. Well, hey, unfortunately, it didn't work out for both of us.
The goals began with Ismail Assar's penalty.
Yeah.
And that saw Senegal take the lead right before halftime. But that didn't last long when Ecuador came fighting back with the equalizer. And with all said and done, I'm sure the Ecuadorians, they felt like that was it for them, because even me, I actually felt like that was it, right? I felt like, okay, as they had scored the goal finally, they would have actually seen it out at the end.
Yeah.
But that was not the case, with Kalidou Koulibaly scoring 3 minutes after Caicedo had put in the equalizer, and his goal being the deciding factor in this tight encounter. Now we see Senegal in the round of 16. Should we actually credit the coach? Because I think we failed to do that in this series. Like, we have failed to actually talk about how well some coaches have actually performed tactically
going
into games.
Well, I think credit goes to the coach. Credit goes to the coach. Credit goes to the players, too, for believing that, you know, they can still... So, like, they can be able to qualify to the next round, because the coach might have the tactics and all of that, but it's still down to the players on the pitch to enforce whatever tactics that the coach had.
We saw how well he played in the 2018 World Cup.
He
backed that up by going on to win the AFCON.
That
showed how good his team was. And then they brought him into the World Cup without his star player. I feel like, do you think now they have made it to the round of 16, there's also like second thing whether Manny might actually feature for them, because if they get past the round of 16, I think Manny should have been healed by then.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. What we'll see what happens. We'll see what, because like I feel like they are actually still playing well, you know, without
Without money.
money. I mean, things may have been different, you get, if they had money, but they are still pushing. So
Ismaïla Assar, do you feel like he has stepped up to fill up the absence of money?
I wouldn't say that, 'cause you see, you know the kind of impact money has on a team,
Yes.
and like we use Liverpool as a case study,
Yeah, because they are the most recent
that he has
club.
been in. So like you can you can find a player that can probably simulate what Mané does,
Yes.
or maybe find a player that will come and play a totally different thing than Mané does, but you cannot replace
Money.
Mané in the Senegalese team.
Okay, but judging for the first game when they played against Netherlands, for a defender with a high profile like De Ligt, we saw what Ismaïla Assar did in that game. And the reason why Mayweather wouldn't talk about him in that game was because of it turned out to be that
They
they
lost.
lost due to late goals, right? So many people actually didn't see, but he was the reason why De Ligt did not perform the game. And the next game, De Ligt had to be replaced because of his underperformance against Ismaïla Assar. And then come again, and his goal was what inspired the Senegalese to actually believe.
Yeah, so like I
Is
got
this still a
it.
surprise to you that he's still on watch for, that no club has actually still come for him?
Definitely. It's like I know this, you know, the World Cup is a big stage, yeah, so I'm sure people are watching. I'm sure there are scouts watching his progress. So like he's a good player, yeah. He's a good player. He has what it takes, actually. But for that replacement for Mané part, yeah, there's I'm not saying that, but like he has his own qualities, he has his own like things that he brings to the team.
Yes.
So he on his own is a very good player.
If we're going back to like let's talk about Ismaïla Assar now. I think when he broke into the stage, the big stage, was when he performed against Arsenal in the Europa League. That was way back under Emery. I think that was 2019, right? And that was what led to Watford signing him. And he went on to perform Watford, being the reason why Watford actually broke the Liverpool unbeaten run that was going. And that
Definitely.
was him against Van Dijk,
Him against Van Dijk, him
scoring
against
two goals,
Alisson.
exactly. And now they've gone for relegation, and he's still there. Now he has come into the big stage, and he has showed that okay, he has no money, no problem. I feel like we need to credit him because I feel like he's like the
No,
standard
like
performer for Senegal.
that's the thing. I'm not taking out
Okay.
I'm not taking out his role in the Senegalese
Team,
team.
yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying that we should not
See him as a replacement
yes, we should
for
not see him
Mane.
as a
Okay,
replacement for
he's his own
Mane.
man.
Yeah, he's
Okay,
his own person.
I can agree with that. Okay, so moving on to the next game, Netherlands Qatar. We all expected the win.
Definitely.
You hit the correct score. You
Definitely.
actually got the correct score. But we all expected the win. The match ended 2-0, as we all know, right? And that was William's prediction for the game. I went to the 3-0. The goal cancels was supposed to be the goal cancel was supposed to be the winner for me, but what can I say? A win is a win, right? And we saw Cody Gakpo and Frankie De Jong once again bail Netherlands out. First game, it was De Jong's assist for Gakpo's header before the second goal came in, and then that's made them win 2-0.
Win
And then now we are seeing, what's wrong with this guy? Like left foot, right foot, header, he's always there.
Hey, he's selling his market.
He has sold it. Because right now we are seeing Man U are strong favorites to purchase him in the January transfer window. And that is like what every player dreams about, right? We know that he was already on the books for Man U and
Mind you,
Arsenal. But I feel like now he has just come to say, okay, I know you were skeptical before, but now you have lost Ronaldo, I am your man. And but we similarize the gameplay around Rashford. So how do you think he's going to fare him in that Manchester United team?
I think if they sign him, he's actually going to get a starting spot unless we see the Rashford that we saw last night in the England game.
What has he seen? So he plays a flurry of positions, right?
Yeah, different positions.
And that actually is a very, very attractive feature. And that's also something that Rashford has under his belt. being able to play left wing, center forward, and right wing.
Yeah.
Do you feel that he just does it better than Rashford, or you feel like they're both on the same level?
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So we know that Rashford has been struggling. Rashford has been struggling for some time now.
Yeah.
Right. But like I said, if we see that
Rashford we saw yesterday,
exactly, we saw a glimpse of the Rashford we know. We saw both the good and the bad, but like we saw a glimpse of that.
First half was the bad. The second half,
yeah, we saw the bad part.
We talked about that free kick, right?
Yeah.
Not on the show.
Yeah,
right?
not on the show.
Right there, when he actually took the first free kick when he stood with Luke Shaw to take the first free kick for him.
Yeah.
We talked about it and how he had been modeling his free kicks to be like Ronaldo, is hitting the ball at the valve.
Yeah.
To make it deep quickly, and only for him to come in the second half and. Which was better, the free kick or the second goal?
Man, both goals were unexpected.
No. Right now, just like Saka's first game for England, where Saka scored the volley, and then he had cut and then bend.
Yeah, that's one. Both goals were unexpected from Rashford.
But if you were to judge one above the other, what would you say, the first or the second?
I would take the free kick because the second one. You know, after the step over and chasing, it had to go under the keeper's leg, and it had to go under the keeper's leg. So like the free kick was too clean. Like, yeah, sure, we can say that maybe there was a bit of tactics because if you take a look at the free kick from like behind the wall, you see Maguire like. There was a part where Maguire stood
to obstruct the goalkeeper.
Yeah, and then he bent down in time. So like the ball passed where Maguire's head was supposed to be. You get. So we can say maybe that was like a tactic or anything. But that free kick,
the brilliance.
Yeah, but that free kick was too clean, guys.
I think I'll agree with you. This is World Cup. You don't score a free kick in the World Cup and then that's the reason why we're praising Morocco. Because come on, those guys hit two.
Yeah, they can say the one that they counted was a cross.
It's covering Neymar, Messi have tried it, and very soon we actually see that because this World Cup is not one to miss. So yeah, that was a very nice game from Cody Gakpo and Frankie De Jong.
Manchester United have been dominating the headlines.
Surprising.
For like 2 days now.
Casemiro, Rashford.
Now, their interest.
Their targets.
Yes, Gakpo, De Jong.
Like, it's crazy. I would say I'm jealous. I am not. But definitely, I want my players to play, right?
Yeah.
I would have loved for Saka to come on for Foden, but I understand the reason why Saka didn't play. And moreover, I won't complain until I don't see his name on the first team
for the
round of 16. I won't complain. Martinelli, I believe he's going to start now that Brazil has qualified.
Yeah.
Him and Gabriel Jesus. Shaka has actually impressed me. If he doesn't make it, I hope he makes it to the round of 16. But if he doesn't, then he'll come back a hero because he really performed for his country.
Definitely.
Same applies to Thomas Partey. So yes, we're happy to see our players perform. They are not all bagging man of the match awards because they're not all in big countries.
Yeah.
But still, what can I say? My fans, you can be happy, you can smile, because right now everything's going well for you guys.
And with that, we will come back to the Premier League.
You can never know.
Fourth
position is a very, very good position for them with how they are going this season. I don't think Newcastle is going to step down. But let's see. But we'll move into the third game for the day, the second dual fixture for the game, and that was Iran, USA,
and Wales, England.
Yeah,
oof,
you saw a draw
for Iran, USA. Yeah, I actually did see a draw.
I mean, a draw would have seen Iran qualify.
Yep, no, see,
you forgot my goalkeeper was in post. You forgot.
I didn't even remember.
We don't take L's, last time. We don't take L's.
Oh, is that so?
We don't take L's.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Okay. let's see how it fares in the round of 16.
Round of 16.
let's see how it fares.
You will be surprised.
Surprised at what?
That USA takes out Netherlands. I put my money on that.
See,
I see. No.
Let me just tell you.
Get something right here.
Okay.
Get something right here.
Mm-hmm.
when we came to this World Cup, based on form, I looked at Netherlands going far. And I'm not, like, they haven't disappointed, right?
Yeah.
At first, they disappointed with their first games, right?
Yeah.
Their first two games. But their last game against Qatar, which was, like, their easiest game, they also showed that, okay, yeah, despite it being easy, the game might be easy, but you don't actually come out on top in the game.
Mm.
But they did, right? But I didn't see USA coming. And we have seen the brilliant intensity from USA. Their second goal, that was Timothy Weah's goal. That goal was so slick. It's painful that it got cancelled by the VAR. But what can I say?
See,
and they have that intensity. Okay, you think about it. Did you really feel that they would get something out of the England game?
See something, yeah. See something. When we talk about the England game,
yes,
I will just say this. That draw was down to Southgate's
speaks. You really feel like if they had brought in
I feel like if the lineup had been different for that USA game, I feel like England would have won. Guy, you England would have won that game definitely. Regardless of the performances that we've seen from Tyler Adams or Pulisic, or regardless of those performances, I feel like England should have won that game. If the lineups had been tweaked a little, England would have won that game. And like as you say now,
I'm sure of worse, guy.
No, see something. Like you said, we didn't see them coming, right? We didn't see them coming.
We saw Rashford play, we saw Grealish play on the pitch, and when they were still on the pitch, things didn't change. Yes, we agree that they would have played Foden, that was the game for Foden, not Sterling. But really, Sterling was tracking back. Foden would have tracked back. We agree, right? The same way you're agreeing that England would have won the game, what if they had actually played these guys and then France had won the game? What if he had benched Maguire the way everybody wanted him to bench Maguire? And he had played Stones and let's say maybe Ben White.
See something.
Or Stones and Dyer.
See something.
And he had lost
If you were Gareth Southgate.
Yes.
And you won your first game, yeah? You won your first game, this high margin. And then you watched your opponent's first game. Would you start the play as he started?
Honestly, I would never have started Sterling even in the first game. No. I want to be clear on that. I would never have started Sterling even in the first game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, when you point at Sterling, I would remove Sterling.
Okay.
That's one.
Okay.
Right? And I would definitely field Foden.
Mm-hmm.
Playing Foden and Saka because of the intensity. We had really seen how intense USA was.
Exactly.
Going to the right-back position now, there's another position where I would have removed. I would have moved Trippier.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely Kyle Walker will be the first name on the books.
Mm-hmm.
Right? After Kyle Walker, then we can talk about probably maybe Ben White coming in the second half to see out the game.
Okay.
But Kyle Walker there for the intensity and all. So, yes, I agree. I won't have featured the same players, right, that he played.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's different. I might have featured these players now and then I've lost the game. But still, I'll take your word for it. Since you believe in that Netherlands will knock out the USA, I understand their favorites. Their favorites in
Netherlands.
That game. Yes, their favorites in that game. But I actually see USA surprising them.
See,
might be a draw to penalties.
USA may get a goal.
Ask yourself, how many goals have they conceded?
How many goals have they conceded?
USA.
They've not conceded. They've conceded just one.
Just
the
one
penalty. And it's not for it's not basically down to how good their defense is, right? It's not basically down to how good their defense is. It's also down to how good the forwards they are playing against are. This World Cup, we've seen teams that are defensive, that are sound defensively,
yes,
and we've seen them going to concede at the last moment of the game,
yes,
due to like certain brilliance or like a certain ball walked goal and some level of clinicality in front of goal.
Yeah.
So this, like the Netherlands team, right? The Netherlands team, I feel like they are going to be the ones to show you that regardless of how we've seen,
they struggled against Ecuador.
Bro, regardless of how we've seen the USA team play. Okay. They struggled against Ecuador. Do you think USA will beat Ecuador?
Yes. The same way I also feel USA will beat Senegal.
Nah, bruh. See, if USA... Yeah. Let me see something.
It's soccer.
It's not soccer, bro.
It's soccer.
It's football.
It's soccer.
And that day, it will be proven to you that it's football, not soccer. We'll see. See,
this is one to watch out for. What I'm happy about this World Cup is that we don't need to wait too long to see these games,
exactly.
Right? They're coming around the corner.
Yeah. So we don't have to
just,
wait
just to them. Yeah, just to mark it down. The USA against the Netherlands game, a feature to watch because we're having very, very controversial thoughts on that. And I hope Williams doesn't see something that changes his mind that day. I hope he sticks with Netherlands.
Sticking with Netherlands.
As
like,
much as
Podigapo is going to show you why he's
mad. I support this guy.
Yeah.
You're not getting
see,
me.
What? No. See, you're saying USA will shock. USA will pull off a shocker. USA will probably get a draw, they'll go into penalty.
Yeah, I didn't say USA were going to win the match.
They'll get a draw, go into penalty.
It's going to be a very close fixture.
I'm telling you that it's going to be a close fixture, yeah? But Netherlands is going to come out on top. Just put it down.
All right.
One goal for my boy, Cody Gakpo.
Your boy, he's not your boy.
Hey,
when I was talking about him in the beginning of this is how life is. When I was talking about him in the beginning of the World Cup, he wasn't your boy, but now he has scored three goals.
He's not my boy because he has scored three goals. He's my boy because he's going to perform in that USA match and he's going to show you why he's good.
All right.
You know he's good, though, for that game. He's going to show you that. Okay, see, this Mr. Joshua from...
He's scored against Arsenal. They beat us 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
So I know he's good, but no problem.
Right.
Moving on. So the Wales-England game. I really can't say much about that. For me to have predicted a 4-0 in the game, I expected England to have whipped them. Luckily for them, they didn't bring in my boy Saka. If they had brought him in, he would have scored a goal. And that would have made it 4, but they didn't bring him in. And Rashford with a brace and Foden with...
Rashford could have made a hat trick.
Let's leave Rashford because the headline is all about Rashford, right?
Yeah.
You know how good he was in the goal,
yeah.
The game, the goals, everything was brilliant, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Kane. Let's talk about the unselfishness of Kane. Let's talk about the fact that this guy is actually a very good captain that sees that puts his team's performance above his performance. Let's talk about a player that I have disliked for a very, very long time, but he has come in England and he's playing a beautiful football. What do you have to say about Harry Kane?
Well, I would just like to say that I think, you know, he stepped up his game. Because usually we know him as that traditional striker that's, you know, kind of the way Haaland is per se.
Yeah, that was him before.
Yeah, that's kind of the... I mean, even Haaland has said changed. Like, even Haaland's game has been adapting.
Yes.
But
I think that issue for strikers like Aubameyang,
yeah,
that can't
adapt
yeah, that kind of link.
So, I think Harry Kane, he has moved on from being the sole striker that, hey, look at me, I'm here, cross the ball. Yeah, or give me the ball, let me do some magic and get the goal. So now he's more of a, okay,
if I can
drag these defenders with me and there's an open space, I will give you the ball.
Yes.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Because it passed.
Because that second goal that Foden, like the second goal for Foden.
Exactly.
When he got the ball, what I expected was he was probably going to drop it back. He was going to drop it back to the next player beside him.
Yes.
I didn't expect him to hold off the defender and play the sharp cross inside.
That was
the
brilliant.
I have to say,
like, honestly, Kane has been playing like De Bruyne in this World Cup.
I didn't expect that. So this kind of thing in my head. Let's assume I was playing FIFA. In my head, nah, I'm not going to do that. Cause hey, I'm holding Harry Kane.
For goodness sake,
I'm holding Harry Kane. So like, I would rather pass the ball to someone closer and then let Harry Kane go into the box so I can probably cross the ball now that Harry Kane is in the box. You get? But kudos to him for seeing.
Oh my goodness.
That run.
That potential run. That was
like, kudos to him for believing that, okay, I'm going to play this ball into this empty space and I'm going to, like, and somebody will be, not even necessarily Foden, somebody will be there to tap in, and Foden didn't disappoint.
And
credit to Rashford too, because Rashford is the one that rushed the defender and collected the ball. Yeah, the press from Rashford.
Well, Rashford really impressed. He really impressed yesterday, and that's the thing, like, if you ask me now, based on performance, right?
Yeah.
My starting lineup for the game against Senegal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play Rashford, Kane, Saka.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I'm going to play. Right? For Saka, we all know that in for the second game, Maguire was the only England player that we can stand up and say actually performed,
Performed, yeah.
right? So in the first game, Saka performed, and Rashford came in the first game also and got the goal, right? A nice finish. In the second game, Saka really didn't perform. Everybody was held back. Where Rashford came in also, no chance came for him. And then in the third game, Rashford got his starting chance and he performed. So right now, we're seeing two players that have actually taken their chances and actually performed well. Rashford is on 3 goals, Saka is on 2 goals. And they are going into the game against Senegal, where we expect to see their best because there's no second chances there. But the reason why we love the World Cup, if it's the draw, we move into extra time. That's extra 90 minutes for whoever is playing. So with that, I think we'll come to the end of the fixtures of yesterday. Our predictions, we use that at the end. We use that at the end. But that brings us to the games of today, right? The 4 o'clock fixtures, the Australia against Denmark and Tunisia, France. How do you see that game?
Australia, Denmark, Tunisia, France. Australia, Denmark. Okay, let me start with Australia, Denmark.
Group D, Group D, Group D. We already have France that have qualified from here,
Yeah,
right?
France.
So we're looking for the
Yeah,
second
the second
team.
person.
So who is the second team gonna be? Australia need the point.
Well, how many points are Tunisia on right now?
One.
And
But they're on the -1 goal difference.
Australia have 3 points, yeah.
Yes, but they're on the -2 goal difference.
Australia has 3 points. Denmark have 3 points.
Denmark has one.
Oh, them. Oh, yeah. Denmark have 1 point. So,
Tunisia has one.
see, at this point, this is like a free for all. You know, everybody
Can't
needs a
qualify.
win. Everybody needs a win in order to qualify,
Except France.
except
And
France.
France is playing Tunisia. Do you think Tunisia can do it? Like, I'm talking about Australia and Denmark, right? And we know if Denmark wins Australia, they qualify.
Yep. If
And
Australia wins Denmark, they qualify. If Australia gets a draw, they qualify.
exactly. If they get a draw, they might not qualify
If
if
Tunisia
Tunisia
wins like
wins.
three,
No, if Tunisia wins France, once they win France, they have qualified.
how many? If Tunisia have just 1 point.
Yeah, Tunisia has 1 point. Denmark and Australia has 3 points.
The
And
goal difference is what?
Australia is on -2. So if they draw, they remain on -2. At 4 points, they remain on -2 goal difference. And if Tunisia win by just 1 goal against France, they will be on 4 points, but they will have a 0 goal difference, meaning they qualify. Very tricky. Very, very tricky. These games are wicked.
Very wicked.
But as we said, free for all, no one is out. Everybody has a chance of qualification, and that applies for the second, third, and fourth. They are all fighting for the second position, and it's down to this game. Yeah, let's go for Carrasco and the reasons why we're giving them. What do you see for the Australia-Denmark game? What do you see happening there?
Australia, Denmark, Australia, Denmark.
I've seen how good the Australian defense can be. They have been very, very resilient. And also, they have been good going forward. Not like they have scored a lot of goals, but they have scored two, and that's the second most goals in the group. Tricky one.
Yeah, I feel like Denmark are also good going forward. They're also good defensively.
Yes.
But you know, there's something I think you said that against bigger teams, they have, I don't know, they have this sort of extra energy.
Yes.
But against, no offense to Australia, but against
Smaller
smaller
teams.
teams, it's like, where did all our energy go? What's happening? Why can't we?
But this is like their last gasp for breath.
Yeah, so you know,
If they don't
there might be a lot of intense, like there might be a lot of intense moments in the game, but judging from how their forwards were in the France game, they didn't really did the goal they scored was from a corner kick.
Yes, Christensen.
Yeah, so like they sort of created chances, they sort of created openings
But there was no
exactly. There was no finishing. Cornelius.
I don't like that guy.
Cornelius was really not doing anything.
He should wear a black suit and become their bodyguard, because that guy fits into MI6.
So like I don't know why didn't field. I think in the second half they brought on someone else. I'm trying Dolberg. To remember the name. Yeah, they brought in Dolberg.
Yeah,
but I feel like they should start with someone else that is not Cornelius.
Yeah,
from the first half.
Dolberg.
Yeah,
they have. I'm surprised that where you have Poulsen and then you be playing Cornelius, like it makes no sense
to me. It's Eurosense.
Yeah, I agree that Poulsen is not in his best form, but for like if you gamble between Poulsen and Cornelius, like it's just be an obvious answer.
I know, right?
What was Cornelius supposed to do? Overpower Varane? Okay, yeah, so Williams, your Carrasco.
Yeah, honestly, I'm just going to go for a draw.
A draw?
Yeah.
1-1?
For just because I want to see goals, I would go for 2-2.
Ooh. Right, I don't have that same faith with you. I don't think Australia can score 2 goals.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that they scored against let me hold back my words. But yes, I don't really think they can do that. I'm going for a 0-2. I feel Denmark will actually triumph in this one. We have seen how they play. We have seen that they have that never die attitude, and we can't scrape out the path of Christian Eriksen. Denmark is not that team that's gonna leave the round of 16 for somebody else. So yeah, I think I go with Denmark winning and Denmark qualifying with France. yeah, I think I go with that. But for the Tunisia France, what do you think for that game? We're going to see Mbappe play because he's
definitely
on course for the top goal scorer.
And
they won't want to take that away from him.
I would like to say Tunisia will have some magical moments and come up with a shocking win. This game, Mbappe is definitely scoring in this game.
Okay.
Mbappe is definitely scoring.
That's
Mbappe is scoring. Who knows? I don't know if they are going to start Giroud.
I think Giroud will break it today.
So I don't know if they are going to start Giroud.
Definitely Giroud will start.
Griezmann, I don't know if they'll start.
They might not start Griezmann because of they have already qualified and he has nothing he's fighting for.
So, hey, trust me, Mbappe goal today. Mbappe goals. So, France is winning this. Sorry, Tunisia. Just hope you have your bags packed and ready, because back to Africa.
All right. Correct score.
Correct score. I go with 3. I go with 3. Let me just, think Tunisia can fight back 3-1.
Ooh. At that point when I felt like I didn't see what I was going to say, I'm going to 0-3. I don't think Tunisia has anything in their cylinders. It seems like I'm not expecting some teams to actually perform today, but what can I say? Yeah, I see Mbappe scoring. I see Giroud scoring. I feel like Giroud's going to break this in today. I don't see Tunisian defense going. I know their defense is actually good.
Yeah.
But I don't see them going to win France. I know they're going to try and play more or less like see where they could hold off until the second half and see where they could nick a goal or something like that. But you can't do that against France. And if they are unlucky today, my boy is starting, and that's my boy Saliba is starting. And when Saliba is, there's no hope. There really is no hope. Like, honestly, like that flank of Hernandez and Mbappe, we saw how they dismantled Denmark. And believe me, as much as they will say Morocco's defense is strong, Tunisia's defense is strong, Senegal's defense is strong. Yeah, I don't know, they empower Africans. And one thing that is certain about Africans is that they can't remain level-headed till the end of the game.
Nope.
In the World Cup, they must surely make a mistake. We're still going to do it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think they're going to score any goal today. I go for a 0-3.
Okay.
And then we move into the all-important game of the day.
Man.
The goods.
See, my goods. Honestly, the end of this game, like the way this game plays out, is going to hurt a lot of people, or potentially make a lot of people happy.
Right now, my voice is nice. My voice is good, but there's a high chance, very, very high chance, that by tomorrow I'll be speaking like this. Because if Messi scores, Oh Lord, we all know that if Messi scores, he wins man of the match. It's obvious.
Definitely, like.
But if Messi scores, sorry, if Di Maria scores, not that Messi. If Lautaro scores,
see something, yeah. For this game, I honestly do not want to see Di Maria start. You get, like, please. Just give. I know maybe Scaloni will be like, it's a very important match. We don't want to risk it, but like we saw the energy that was like the energy that came into the game when they brought in Enzo Fernandez, Julian Alvarez. Like we saw the energy that came into the game. So, bro, why not just do it?
I feel like he should actually play 4-4-2 diamond today, where he's featuring Alvarez and Lautaro up front.
Okay.
They play Messi as a 10, having what's his name? Paredes and Rodrigo de Paul in the midfield, and then we can tinker with Enzo Fernandez as the last midfielder. I feel like that to have enough energy. Paredes would definitely be able to cover the grounds as he has done so many times whenever Verratti has been on injury in PSG.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's what he should start with, and then he should maybe give the fullback the chance to overlap as wingers. So that will actually, as in, box in Poland from the wing, we call the fullback. They'll be trying to mark the fullback, and they'll also have enough numbers in the midfield pending that Messi pass.
And you know, I think we mentioned this. The game against was it Saudi Arabia? You know, the first half against Mexico, where it was like there was not too much happening in the midfield.
Yeah.
So like, if they are able to field this sort of formation and be like they're able to bust that midfield and lock out potential passes from like potential gameplay or playmaking from the Poland team.
Yes.
Hey, it's going to be an easy one for them.
I really don't see Szczesny actually pulling off anything against Messi, but we can't rule out the fact that Lewandowski is there.
We are not really not the fact that Lewandowski is there.
Do you feel that they should play Cristiano Romero ahead of Otamendi just because of that height advantage? Because Kroos is coming in, and do you think Otamendi can actually stop Lewandowski?
That is if they give them that.
No, you have to agree that they are not Brazil.
No, but see something. Regardless of height advantage, there's always still a way to stop Lewandowski, right? I mean, they played Mexico, and he could not score, even from the penalty spot. He could not score. And yeah, Mexico is not Argentina, right? So, Mexico is not Argentina. But I feel they would... Hey, Lisandro Martinez, don't write my boy off, bruh.
Against Lewandowski, write him off.
I'll
clean the board. I've thought this a couple of times.
Yeah.
Lisandro Martinez, he performs better against forwards that prefer the ball to fit.
Mm-hmm.
Then he can contest. He has a high success rate for aerial duels, right?
Exactly.
But for strikers that are good in positioning, for strikers that are good in positioning, right?
Mm-hmm.
A striker that is good in positioning, one. A striker that has high clinical success, right? These two factors, right? The last one is actually physicality.
Yeah.
Right? But I don't bring that in because we know that Lewandowski isn't really that physical. Right? So this positioning aspect and then his clinical nature, that's like if you put Lisandro Martinez to mark someone like Lewandowski, should I tell you how the goal is going to come up?
How?
They cross the ball.
Yeah.
Lisandro Martinez puts himself in a very good position to head it.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the 9 minutes, Lewandowski steps in front of him. I hope it doesn't happen.
We are going to see.
That is the reason why I'm hoping for Romero to actually start.
We are going to see this. See, you know, this kind of games, we definitely have to nitpick this small detail and all of that, but we are going to see that if Scaloni doesn't tweak his defense.
I think he's going to do that. Like, I feel like Romero is going to start. If he doesn't start Romero, then I know there's a problem. But I'm going with the 1-3. I see Poland scoring the game. So I'll give Poland 1 and Argentina winning three. What's yours?
Like you say, Poland is going to score, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But that
great to God, and
we pray to God, exactly. We pray for that good masterclass. We pray for that good masterclass, and we need Lionel Messi. You know, I saw this tweet yesterday. I think out of context football. Either them or True Football on Twitter. I think one of them. They made a post where someone was pulling a truck. So the first frame was Messi pulling Argentina with him. And then the second frame was Ronaldo comfortably in the truck with
the whole of Portugal pulling him.
So I just hope that for all that is good, for all that is pure, for
all I feel like you're praying right now,
bro. Hey, I want Argentina to qualify. Yeah, God willing. So I will go the same score as you, 3-1 for that game, man.
Man, you have 2-3-1s. That's
some like goals, man. we really need goals in today's game.
Yes, I want Messi to actually be the one to take Argentina to the round of 16.
Yeah.
As much as I want Messi to win the World Cup, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't win the World Cup, I want him to win the best player at the World Cup.
Okay.
Many people actually look down on him after that Saudi Arabia loss. And to me, that was like the perfect scenario, right?
Yeah.
To allow them to overlook Argentina. Because right now, so to me, Argentina just dropped from, the second most popular team to win the World Cup.
Yeah.
To the fifth or sixth. All them, France, Spain, Portugal are all ahead of them, because right now they feel like, yes, the Argentine squad is not
that great.
You understand?
Yeah.
But what can we say? That takes us to our last game for today, Saudi Arabia against Mexico. As we said, it's all down to the last
game.
Poland on 4 points. Saudi Arabia on 3 points. Mexico on one after drawing against Poland and losing to Argentina. So Saudi Arabia wins this game,
they are qualifying.
Argentina wins their game, Saudi Arabia qualifies. Saudi Arabia wins this game, Argentina draws, Argentina is out. But, and a whole big but, Mexico wins the game and goes 4 points, right?
Yeah.
And a draw for Argentina might actually see Argentina still go for the World Cup, round of 16. So now I ask, what's your prediction for this game? Saudi Arabia, Mexico.
Yo.
Sorry.
Yo, this is.
See, where do your loyalties lie? Saudi Arabia, Mexico. Okay, don't say too much on this. Just give me the correct.
I want Saudi Arabia to win.
Ooh.
No, like. Maybe get a draw even. Yeah.
Okay, you say you want, but what do you think will happen?
I think I'll go for another draw.
Another draw?
Yeah.
Aye. One.
Yeah.
Okay. That sees you predict 2 draws for today. What can I say? I actually share the same fate with you. I don't want Saudi Arabia to qualify. I don't want Mexico to qualify. I don't want Poland to qualify. I don't want anybody to qualify as long as it's Argentina. Then after Argentina has qualified, we can think about another person. But as we have it, someone else has to qualify. And the Saudi game is a very tricky one. I don't think Mexico are going to lie down. I feel like they're going to battle it out to the ending, but I'll go with it 2-2.
Okay.
Why do you feel like my 2-2 is not going to happen? Yeah, you're the one that's breaking 2-2 for a very long time now.
It might happen. It might happen. Ballsy prediction.
Yeah, a lot of ballsy predictions, right? And we're seeing that the possibility of Stephanie Frappart becoming the first female referee to ref at this tournament. As the Germany-Costa Rica game. Like, the women are actually rising up to the occasion. I feel like they are actually going to perform better than the men. I don't even perform better. I mean, like, in all these close calls, because they are trying to set examples and standards for the next generation, right? And they will not want to spoil the future of other women. So they will actually do their best, unlike the men that have been actually giving us I don't know what to say. Terrible, this. Like those VAR, I feel like they need to be called to order because they are really spoiling the game for us. But what can we say? It's football. It's always football.
Always.
Yeah, and so with that, we come to the end of today's episode.
Mm-hmm. Oof, as always, yeah, it has been fun, you know, with talking, just two bros, you know, sitting down talking football. And it has been fun. We've dropped a lot of predictions. We had some arguments concerning a later game, you know, the Netherlands game. We'll revisit that in the future. In a future episode, we'll revisit that.
Definitely. But before we come to a close, we look at the scoreboard one more time.
Mm.
And before the beginning of yesterday's fixtures, we had it at 48-63 with Williams whooping me with a whole 15 points.
Mm-hmm.
And to make matters worse, he hit a correct score yesterday, and that was crazy. But that wasn't enough to make him increase the gap to 18 points. Because would I say luckily for me? Yeah, I would say that, because at this point I'm riding based on luck. Thanks to USA, I was able to get back on track. So the first game was the Ecuador Senegal game, where I predicted 1-1 and he predicted 2-1. And unfortunately, the game ended on a 1-2 in favor of Senegal, which saw us both get 0 points from our predictions. The next game was the Netherlands Qatar. I went with a 3-0, he went with a 2-0, which was the actual correct score.
Mm-hmm.
Nice one, Wills.
Yes.
And then next up was Iran USA. He went with a draw, and USA won the game 1-0. And last but not the least, the all expectant Wales versus England. I went with a 4-0 draw, 4-0 win, and he went with a 2-0 win.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sandwiched because in between was a scoreline of 3-0. Yeah, so that sees 9 points for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And adding that 9 to his, he breaks into the 70 margin and is
road
on 72 points. As I said, road to 100.
200.
And there comes me lagging behind on 57 points. Route 70. What can I say? 15 points behind, but as they say, never give up. The breakfast continues. Today we're gonna lose two more countries.
I hope Argentina is
sorry,
breakfast.
Four more countries.
Yeah.
Four more countries today. Mm. And our prayer is what?
Argentina is not among.
Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy. All right, guys. Yeah, we've come to the end of today's episode. Yeah, so we're going to catch you guys next time. This remains the World Cup series on your favorite podcast,
Not Just Sports.
Did you enjoy the podcast you just listened to? If you did, tap the follow button and turn on our notification so you don't miss out on any of our episodes. See ya!